happy Mother's Day. Good morning. God's moving, is he not? God is moving, and it's always exciting for me to preach, because whenever I'm in the back and I'm kind of taking in what God is saying, and people are stepping out and sharing things, they always seem to intermix, right? They always seem to connect, and it's pretty cool when one body person in our body gets up and shares something, and then the preacher gets up, and there's like this actual connection, and you're like, whoa, God, you actually do speak. Yes, he does. And so this morning, Dory had mentioned how the Lord goes to battle for us and is in our corner, right? And so the title of my message is Fight for Your Life. Fight for Your Life, right? So this morning, right before I kind of get into the message, I do want to give an update and share on my friend Jenya. Thank you to those who mentioned about different things that they can help with as the weeks kind of lead up to them being able to come here. Right now we're in that like weird waiting period of waiting for the paperwork to get applied from the government to allow them to come here. And so it's something I check every day. I've been getting closer and closer to him and his family and learning more about them, which is really cool. And so he sent me this picture. So last week, after I mentioned that our church family was excited to help in their journey, their American journey, he sent me this picture from his couch. You're trying to, that's half of his face. There's Vika with a big smile, and I learned that she's really into Paw Patrol. And I know my nieces were into Paw Patrol at one point, and the father that I am, I snuck a little present by Amazon to her, and it's and being a father and seeing, you know, a kid smile when they get something, just it breaks you, you know, and she hasn't let go of Sky the dog since then. He says it's been a bit of a problem. She won't put it down. She has to take a bath. She won't put it down. They go for a visit somewhere. She won't put it down, and so. Just very excited to see how God's kind of putting things in place for them to be able to be here with us. And I'll continue to update the church as far as, you know, when that wonderful day comes, when they get that green light within the 30-day period. We're at like day 10 or 11 right now. And so they wait with big anticipation, and we continue to just talk about what life looks like here in America versus them being in Germany and differences and so on. But how many know that they're coming from a place that doesn't look like our place, right? And it hasn't looked like our place for a long time. Now, Ukraine's obviously different than our American culture, but they're in such a dismal, downhearted state because of the conflict, because of the war, that it's hard for us to even fathom like what it's like, unless we've actually ever been in a place that has been attacked, or a place that we're around ruins, we're around losing everything. I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you lost everything. Probably not, right? You probably still had the clothes on your back, you probably had some items, you probably had family with you, but this is a group of people who literally have lost family, have lost their items. Literally were hiding in bunkers just to stay safe from an opposing enemy. And so, this morning I want to share a song. It's a song that's newer. It was filmed on the front lines of Ukraine, and it gives us a really great example of a fight in the physical realm, right? Because we see the ruins, we see how it affects one person's life. There's a boy named Sasha in the video. It's an Imagine Dragons song, but they went and actually did filming where they could hear the bombs in the background, whoever filmed it. So I want to share that this morning. So if you want to cue that up. Perfect.
I suppose she's supposed to be exactly what they want her to be. So pretty and pink, necklace and ring. Don't be heard, just be seen. But that's not who I am. She said, I can feel too much. And I would say, go away, cause it's crushing me. It's crushing me. Don't you know that you don't ever say the scarlet ain't your next pretty red. Eyes are all dead, if they ever said. Get stuck in your head, silence is deafening. And their heart is bleeding out. They don't care, no, they never cared at all. They never cared at all. That's not who I am. She said, I could feel too much. And I wish it go.
And I like how at the end it says, and they're still here, and they're still there, right? So we see that it's not just a fight for in the physical realm, it's also a fight in the spiritual realm. And for them, they're going through a physical realm right now. But do we know that God is bigger, much, much bigger than the physical realm? God is bigger than the issues that are happening. God is bigger and creates scenarios for people like Sasha to experience God's love, right? So he may be in a state of dismal despair yesterday, but tomorrow, God can move and God will move. It's important for us to be reminded that there are those outside our walls who are fighting for their lives, living, dying without ever experiencing God's unconditional love, feeling surrounded with nowhere to run. They too need to know there's someone who fights on their behalf, who loves them no matter their faults and defects. This morning, have you ever felt the weight of the world down on you? Have you ever felt heavy? Have you ever felt burdened? Have you ever felt burden for people, situation, maybe a family member? Like every day was just a fight to get through it. You try and try to honor the Lord in all that you do, but you end up falling flat on your face. We're all in the same boat. You are not alone. So let me ask you a question. When the battles of life close in around you and you feel surrounded, where do you turn? Where do you turn? This morning, God wants to remind us to open our eyes, look beyond the things of this world, to see Him at work. He wants to remind you that He fights for you. He wants to remind you that because of His love for you, He sent who? His Son to die for you. So I was thinking of what it looks like to have somebody in your corner. Everybody ever seen Rocky, right? Rocky, boxer coming up from I don't even know what part of Philly. Kurt, do you know what part of Philly he's from? South Philly. We'll say South Philly, right? And he's a young boxer, and he needs like that. He needs like that personal touch. He needs somebody in his corner to figure out how to become the greatest. And that man's name was Mick. Hey, Mick, right? And he talked like this. And so, without Mick, who was Rocky? Rocky was just this boxer from Philly that maybe had a nice, I think it was a southpaw, so had a nice, you know, south haymaker or hook. But without Mick's attention to detail and training, Rocky would have just been one of those guys that just kind of threw those punches but didn't know the technique as well because he didn't initially have Mick in his corner. And so God's reminding us he is in our corner. No matter the situation, no matter who says they're in our corner, but maybe when the, you know, stuff hits the fan, I won't say the other word, those people dissipate and they just kind of take a step back. But God is reminding us he is in our corner. 2 Chronicles 20:20-21 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." I don't know if you're like me, but when I hear the word forever, it just brings feelings of forever. Like it's not going to end. It's not going to change. No matter what I do, it's not going to change. And we live in a world of change, right? We live in a world where there's missiles and bombs flying on top of innocent people's houses. People are dying. We live in a world where people are hungry and aren't fed. We live in a world where friends and family say things but do another. God doesn't change. God endures forever, does not change. Great. So today's Mother's Day, right? Yep. That's right. Mothers. So there's an image I have that I found.
And so I tried to ask God, what do you think of mothers, God? You made them, right?
And so he he immediately put an image, and I had to find the image, but he gave me the image of a lioness, right? And for anybody who's watched The Lion King, most of us have, or our kids have, and we stumbled into the room and whatnot. You had Simba, and you had the mom, and then you had some of these other big male lions at the end of the movie trying to attack the young ones, and who stepped in? The lionesses, right? And so here you see this image of the cub, and there's probably some kind of fight going on, and she is livid. Her teeth are out, the paws up. She sees this big, large lion with a big mane in front of her, and she is going to town to what? Protect and defend her own, right? Protect and defend her own. And our Heavenly Father is the same way with us. He wants to protect and defend because we are his own. A mother's love for her child is everlasting. Do not mess with a mom and her kid. That's right. Thank you, Sharon. I love this image because that is us down below. Our Heavenly Father trying to shield us, knowing that we still let fear and unbelief creep in because of what we see before us in the natural. He reminds us that the fight has already been won when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. The enemy of our souls no longer has power over us. That doesn't mean he doesn't continue to try, but when we firmly walk in faith, believing that we are set apart and set free, then we walk in victory. Amen? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto those that put their trust in him. Proverbs 35, God's people are strangers in a hostile land, but the enemy cannot harm us because God himself is our shield. He goes to battle for us. He is in our corner. God is our Mick, right? He protects those who take refuge in him. I started to think about, have you ever heard like the stories of like somebody's in a car crash, right? And you have like the teenager and his friends, they get into a car crash and the mom shows up on scene. And these are like those kind of recollections from like TV shows. And it's like, oh, there's this miracle that happened. And the kids were in this car crash and the mom was behind them. And the mom pulled up and she saw like, you know, this kid was outside and the car was on him or something. And she goes over and with all her might, she lifts the car up and the kid escapes. And it's a miracle, right? I think of the same thing with our Father. He sees that we're in that crash. He sees that life isn't going our way and that the burden and the weight of everything is on top of us. And what does he do? He's lifting and lifting and lifting, positioning himself in his power for his glory. Mothers provide for their kids. Yesterday, I just added this to my notes. Yesterday, my son Aiden, I asked him to go bring some things out to the car. We were on our way to my son's soccer game, which was in the rain, by the way, cold and wet. I don't know why they do that, but regardless, he played soccer. And so as he's going outside, he comes in and he's like, "Dad, there's a bird in the garage." And I'm thinking, like, you know, everybody leaves their garages open. Birds kind of fly in and out. They're curious. And I've seen a blackbird in my garage before, and I just didn't think anything of it. So I go out, and I'm looking for the bird, and I'm looking, and I look up, and I'm like, really? And there's a bird's nest on top of my garage door unit. And I'm like, how the heck did this bird even have time to come in and make a bird's nest on top? And then I'm kind of reminded when my wife is like, "Did you shut the garage door?" "Yeah." "Did you shut?" And we go to bed, and I go to work the next morning, and the garage door is still open. Come on, I know I'm not the only one who does that. So that's probably one of the great examples of how this bird had time to make the bird's nest. So I go up the ladder, and I'm like, still shocked. Like, how did this bird have time to do this? I'm telling you, a mama bird has time to make a nest, and she makes it into perfection. If you've ever seen a nest, it's like, there's like pieces of like fuzz. There's like pieces of like garbage that I swear it took from my garbage can. like hanging from it. And there's like mud and clay and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? If there's birds inside that and I'm listening, I don't even know what to do. And so I go up and I'm looking to see if there's any eggs. And luckily there weren't any eggs. So I'm like, okay, all right, fine. We can relocate the nest. So, you know, Lucas is asking, where are we going to put it, Daddy? Where are we going to put it? And I'm looking around and I walk outside my garage door. And who's up there to the left? Mama. And she's looking at me and I'm like, you can't go in here and live in here. Like half the time the garage door is closed. Like, I don't know how else you're getting in. I mean, mice figure out one way, but this big blackbird. And so I'm expecting, you know, there's no babies yet, but I'm sure she's protective of her home, right? Moms, you're protective of your home and what goes in your home, what gets furnished in your home, and on and on. And so I get the ladder and I go over and I find the tree out front and I'm like, hey, this looks good, right? Are you okay with this? And she's still staring at me like she's gonna attack me. And so I plant it there and make sure it's not moving and like, all right, there's not much, you know, to cover up top over it, but maybe you'll be fine because other birds' nests have been up top and don't look like they're covered. And, you know, you'll just cover your babies because that's what you mama birds do. And, you know, you mama humans cover your little ones when it starts pouring. And so I moved in. She's still staring at me. And I walk back in the house and she flies. She takes off. And I'm like, I don't know if she's mad. I don't know if she's going to come after me. But the might of the mama bird is nothing to trifle with. Right? God reminds us that the fight has already been won. The enemy of our souls is forever after our souls, wanting us to slip up, trying to divert us away from our spiritual calling. You were destined for a time such as this. Your path to the Lord may have been a bumpy one, but he knew the course you would take and was with you all along the way. Even when you didn't feel him, even when you couldn't see him, he fought for your soul. There's a song that many of us know, and we probably have sang it before, by Hillsong United, called Another in the Fire. And I want to read some of the lyrics because, man, it is just so powerful knowing we are not in that fire by ourselves. So it says, there was another in the fire standing next to me there was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There's another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, do we need reminding today? We do. What power set me free? There is a grave that holds no body, and now that power lives in me. So that brings me to the bulk of the message this morning, and it's out of Daniel 3. So if you have your Bible, you can go there. Daniel 3, verse 8, and we're going to look at the story that we've all grown up, if we've been in the church for a while, and have been reminded of, and it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the very end of the story is what really kind of touched me. And so it's Daniel 3, 8. We're going to go to verse 25. And whoever does not fall down in worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. This is coming from the king. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" So they have a choice. We have a choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." So clearly, he's going to be pretty mad about this. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury and expressed his face. The expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning, fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning, fiery furnace. The end. No? Okay. Not the end. Only the beginning. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. What happened? He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast these 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king," he answered and said, "but I see 4 men unbound, walking the midst of the fire. They are not hurt." So there's 3 parts to that. I see 4 men, right? Unbound and walking, right? Not sitting, walking, moving. When we're walking, which way are we going? Forward, not backwards. If you're walking backwards, your name's Michael Jackson. And they are not hurt. They are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. Jesus, in the fire with us? No. Why would God do that? Why would God put Jesus in the fire with us? Mick. Our Mick is with us, right? Unbound, walking in the midst of the fire. Do you want to be a man or a woman of the king who is set free, unbound, walking in the midst of the fire. See, sin has a way of weighing us down, but you can be set free. Maybe you can walk with him. Let God lighten the load this morning. I started to think about our Ukrainian kids. So when they had to evacuate from their orphanage, they were only allowed a backpack. And their burden was a lot lighter, right? Because they didn't have the big suitcase. We sent the boys with a suitcase full of items from Five Below because that was their favorite store. And their burden was light. But they didn't have a choice, right? They didn't have a choice because of how they had to evacuate real quick. God wants us to get to that point where our burden is light and not heavy. There was a reason why they had to travel light. It was to flee the enemy. The second you're weighed down by your burden, that's when the enemy will pounce. He'll just go right after you because he knows that you're tired. He knows that you're weary. And so we have to be on our guard. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Just like we see up there, ready to pounce. When you and I pray with and commune with the Lord, we're doing battle in the spiritual realm. We're opening up an avenue for God to move, opening up an avenue for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, opening up an avenue for us to become more like Jesus. So the fight of your life continues, but now that we know that he's in the fire with us, we know that we can be victorious and have a victorious life. So I have a video queued up of a wonderful song called Reckless Love. And so I just ask that that we just take a little bit of time to just listen to the words, listen to what the Lord and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about how he wants to be in our corner during these battles that we face, how he is fighting on our behalf when we feel weak, when we feel burdened, when we feel like nothing's moving, nothing's progressing. His love is like the mother lioness.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love far from me. You have been so, so good. found no words. You paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh,
Father, saying that He is in your corner, that it is not empty, you have not been forsaken, you have not been forgotten, you are not tied up any longer, you are no longer broken. You may feel broken inside, you may feel broken physically. He is saying that He is.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Do a work in us this morning. Speak to us, remind us that you come after us, that you battle on behalf of us, that we are not stuck where we're at, but we are moving forward in you. Opportunities, doors opening, your love being broadcasted. As we're broadcasting love from one nation to another, Lord, use us. We are your disciples. Use us, Lord, for your glory and your kingdom.